This is The Guardian.
Hi, Noor Haidar here, coming to you from Gadigal land. Over the summer, we're bringing you some of the best of The Guardian's podcasts from 2025. This week, we're playing Missing in the Amazon, a six-part investigative series on the disappearance of a journalist and an Indigenous defender in one of the most remote corners of the Amazon jungle. Here's host and reporter Tom Phillips.
Previously on Missing in the Amazon.
It became clear that Pilado had become a kind of a major poacher who had gradually built up a business.
E aí ele me falou a história, ele falou, não tinha.
This guy, he says, I saw Dom Bruno passing by, and right behind them, he said, there were these two men going after them, men I didn't recognize, in a black speedboat.
Bem próximo a eles, depois que ele entra.
There were these scratches on the trees, these very specific marks. The boat must have come crashing into the riverbank at speed, and the propeller was still on, and so it sliced into the branches. In the mud, we found footprints.
Tinha pegada de duas pessoas.
After I found out that Bruno's boat had been ambushed, things moved very quickly. A few hours later, I was in a different part of the jungle, with a couple of military policemen and a group of indigenous guys, including Bini Machis, when our radio crackled into life. It was the other search group saying, "We found something. Get over here now." When we got there, it was this kind of hidden clearing in the flooded forest that was set back from the main river. We maneuvered our way through the water in our canoe, past trees with low-hanging red fruit, pushing away vines and branches. And as we got deeper into the flooded forest, it felt as though the trees were closing in around us, and the natural light started to fade away. And it got darker and darker. I started to hear the indigenous guys who were already there talking to each other, and they sounded panicked. They were finding Dom and Bruno's possessions in the water.
Por isso que a gente veio para esse ponto aqui. Aí o que que eles acharam aí então?
Alguma roupa ali, colher.
Benin's describing to me what's being found. A spoon, a knife, a blue tarpaulin, some clothes. And as I'm taking this in, I see something. Somebody had stirred up the water by turning on the motor of their boat, and a pair of trousers had floated up to the surface. And I panicked, because they started sinking back down again. And I started shouting, "Trousers, trousers, calça, calça. Somebody get them, someone get them quickly."
Alguém devia pegar antes de sumir. Aí, dá uma calça.
And then Benin picked up an oar and tried to fish them out of the water. But he wasn't quick enough, and they just floated back down to the depths of the river. At this moment, I just knew. There was this horrible energy. It was one of the most awful places I've ever been. And I still think about it now. I've never been anywhere where you feel so much evil than in that place down there. I'm Tom Phillips, The Guardian's Latin America correspondent. This is Missing in the Amazon, Episode 4, The Ambush.
Eu acho que só nesse dia. Nesse dia foi o dia que eu chorei. Eu não tinha chorado ainda. Esse dia foi o dia que eu chorei.
I hadn't cried yet.
That was the day I cried. The day they found the clothes, I lay on my mother's lap and cried.
As roupas.
For Bruno's wife, Beatriz, and for many of us on the search, this was the moment that all hope was lost. Dom and Bruno's things had been hidden in this dark corner of the forest, deliberately concealed. We knew what that meant. For Dom's wife, Alaire, a new question was growing louder in her mind. Where are the bodies? Divers went down to the bottom of the water where the clothes had been found, and they weren't there.
Probably they will not find the bodies. I can't imagine if you don't have your one person that you love so much that you have no sure that he's dead. I can't imagine this. It broke my heart.
I've reported a lot in places like Mexico, where people are disappeared all the time. People not knowing what happened to their loved ones. And it's agony. Pelado had been arrested. Police searched his house and found illegal ammunition. His black speedboat was searched, and traces of blood were found on it and sent for forensic analysis. At first, he denied everything and refused to cooperate. But not long after the discovery of Dom and Bruno's clothes, he agreed to start talking. I've spoken to eyewitnesses, some of the last people ever to see Dom and Bruno alive, and have obtained a recording of the police's interrogation of Pelado and a copy of his written confession. According to them, this is what happened. From Thursday, Dom and Bruno were shadowing Evo, the indigenous monitoring team that Bruno had helped set up. And on Saturday, one of its patrol units spotted Pelado. He was in his boat, heading towards the entrance to the indigenous territory, which was illegal to enter. The patrol team followed, and Pelado turned around, stared right at them, and raised his shotgun above his head and held it there. A warning. A few hours later, Dom and Bruno were at the riverside shack they were staying at. The owner of the house says that Bruno was on the veranda, smoking a cigarette, looking out at the river as Pelado came past in a small canoe. He was wearing a belt filled with red shotgun cartridges, and he carried a gun. Pelado called out to Bruno across the water, "Good morning," and he carried on with his journey. What happens next is heartbreaking. On the Saturday night, Dom sat down to what I suspect was his last ever interview. A 3-hour conversation with Bruno about the dangers facing the Javari and their work fighting the poachers. Then, at the crack of dawn on Sunday, Bruno made a decision, which a lot of people have subsequently struggled to understand. Instead of following their original plan and making the journey back to the riverport, past Pelado's village, with a large group of indigenous colleagues for protection, they decided they'd just go it alone instead. Just the two of them.
Mas o fato é que tem uma questão de que ele queria descer logo. E que tinha uma equipe da...
It's very difficult for me to think about it. But I've heard people saying that Bruno was in a rush to go back down the river, and I don't know. I think that maybe the reason he wanted to get back instead of waiting for everyone else was because he wanted to be back home with me sooner. I think he didn't want to miss the flight that was leaving that evening. I think that's why he set off when he did.
Eu acho isso em algum lugar, talvez alguém...
Mas você não pode ficar...
Não posso.
I'm saying to Beatriz here, you can't think like that.
Ao mesmo tempo que tem isso na minha cabeça em algum lugar, mas também...
I know, I can't torture myself thinking like this. At the same time, I can't stop thinking it.
But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. What matters is what happened.
Bruno texted Orlando at 6 a.m., saying that all was well and that he'd see them at the riverport in a couple of hours. By around 7:15 a.m., Bruno and Dom's boat was passing Pelada's village.
Aí, bem, quando foi no dia, no outro dia seguinte, domingo.
This is the voice of Pelado from one of his police interviews. He said he was at his house, brushing his teeth, when he saw the boat coming down the river. Pelado says that, as they came past, he heard Bruno turn to Dom and say, "Take a picture. That's the boat of the invasorzinho, the little invader."
Isso foi no domingo.
Foi no domingo. Aquilo ali, doutor, aquilo me irritou assim.
That really pissed me off, Pelado says.
Eu achei que eu não estava nem pisando no chão. Quase ameaça que eu...
Pelado says he was with another fisherman, a man called Jefferson. And according to his confession, after he heard Bruno's words, he turned to Jefferson and he said, "Let's kill him." They both grabbed their shotguns, jumped into the black speedboat, and set off, following Bruno and Dom. Their boat was much faster than Bruno's, with a much more powerful engine, and they quickly caught up. They came around a bend in the river, and I think it's almost certain that Bruno and Dom would not have heard them coming through the sound of their own motor. Pelado claims that Jefferson shot first, from around 20 meters, and hit Bruno in the back. Bruno pulled out his handgun and tried to fire back 5 times, but missed. Dom was unarmed. Jefferson shot Bruno again, and he fainted. Pelado then started shooting. He says he hit Dom in the ribs. Bruno's boat crashed into the riverbank, and they shot him again to make sure. Then they sank the boat and they hid the bodies. You're right. Yeah. This is exactly where... This is exactly where it all happened. And it's just, yeah, you asked me how I felt. I think that's how I feel. Yeah, I just feel it just gives you a sense of what an absolutely cowardly attack it was. It wasn't a fair fight. There wasn't a fight. There wasn't a gun battle. There wasn't, you know, the only thing Dom was carrying was a pen and a book and an iPhone. And they were just hunted down. What bastards, no? I mean, just, what bastards? So... What bastards? Did everything they could to get away with it and to make sure that nobody ever found our friends. What bastards? We later learned that that gloomy patch of flooded forest where we'd found Dom and Bruno's clothes was just a place where they'd temporarily hidden their bodies to get them out of sight from the main river. We also learned that it wasn't just Pelado and Jefferson that took them to that place. Right after the murder, they'd gone back to their villages and rounded up a group of locals who helped them move Dom and Bruno.
As pessoas que fizeram sobre o...
Ai, é tudo tão difícil, né? Não sei. Ah, não, eu acho que... Não sei, eu acho que...
One thing I find so hard to understand is how many people were involved.
Uma coisa que eu acho muito...
What the fuck? What the fuck? This wasn't two people. It was a whole community. I find it so sad. To have that level of hatred of the indigenous people, the people they work with, what they represent. Frankly, it's such a failure. There is this trait in Brazil that has always existed, that has never really ceased to exist, and it's come out of the sewer and into the light in such an ugly way.
The next day, they decided to move the bodies again.
Ele é um cara frio, né? Esse tipo de o que eles fizeram.
I mean, it's so cold to do this over several days.
Bruno's friend and colleague, Orlando Pozuelo.
Listen, it's one thing to kill somebody and then immediately bury them, but to go home, sleep, have lunch, have a shower, and then come back and move the bodies again. I think it just shows how cold these people are.
Mostra assim a frieza.
Pilado told police that they decided to move the bodies across to the other side of the river. This time they went much deeper into the forest, deep enough that they hoped Dom and Bruno would never be found. And on the 15th of June, 10 days after the disappearance, Pilado finally led the police to that place. Tataco and Orlando were there too.
It took us a while to get there. We had to go up this creek that was very narrow. It was really difficult terrain, but we finally got there to this area of flooded forest.
I was wearing a mask covering my face to hide my identity, and Pilado didn't recognized me at first. And then one of the federal police officers addressed me by name. And Pelado heard and said, "Tataco, is that you?" So I took the mask off. I said to him, "Why? Why have you done this?" And he said, "I don't even know, Tataco, but I've ruined my life." He said that to me, right there. I ruined my life. I felt heartbroken and I felt rage. I had to control myself. And I walked away from him.
Eu saí de perto dele também. O Orlando ficou assim, eu não conversei mais com ele nessa hora mais.
Papai não vai voltar mais. Aí eu expliquei. Aí o... Acho que foi o Pedro mesmo que falou assim.
When I was told that the bodies had been found, I set the kids down and said, "That isn't coming back. That isn't coming back." Pedro was nearly 4. He asked me, "They've killed him?" I said, "Yes, they've killed him." I explained what had happened. I couldn't lie, I couldn't soften it, I couldn't do anything because they killed him. Pedro was 3 and Luis was 2. I remember right away when I said that, they both hugged me and we cried together, all 3 of us holding each other. We all cried together. They understood right away.
E essa coisa também de você achar que seus filhos estão sofrendo, né? Não sei, eu acho muito pior do que eu sofrer.
It's such a horrible thing to think that your children are suffering. I don't think so much about my loss, you know. I think much more about theirs. It's so hard to think about them losing their dad like that.
Não faz sentido. Sim, sim.
Eu acho muito difícil pensar, né, deles se perderem a paz. Assim.
Ale told me she felt this really confusing wave of emotions when she heard the news. She was hysterical, she says, and utterly devastated. But she also felt like a weight had been lifted. She'd begun to be consumed by the idea that she'd never know for sure what had happened to Dom. Now, at least she knew.
And I was so relieved. in that moment. So relieved. Yeah.
Instead of wandering forever, she could start to grieve. To remember Dom as she liked to remember him.
What do you, if you close your eyes now when you go to sleep or when you're just on your own and you reflect and just have time, what do you, what's the image of Dom that comes into your mind when you're, when you have a moment of peace?
Dancing. And many times when I think about Dom, I have his image and I'm hugging him in his shoulder, just putting my arms around him. That's it.
On the dance floor.
On dance floor. Always. Always. Yes. He's just such amazing, amazing guy.
The forensic police dug our friends from the ground. I don't want to go into the details of what Pilado and Jefferson had done to their bodies, but it was awful. The police carried them to the river and put them into a boat. Orlando, Tataku, and the members of Evo got in their boats too, ready to escort them down the river and back to the port. I've returned to the Javari region many times since Dom and Bruno were murdered, trying to make sense of what happened. And on one of those trips, a year after the crime, I found myself sat in a boat in almost exactly the same spot as I'd been when their bodies were brought out of the jungle. And the memories of what had happened came rushing back. Night fell, I remember. It was pitch black. And I remember there was a full moon, a beautiful blood red moon above the Itaquai. And then eventually a small flotilla of boats set off at about 6:40 p.m. under the cover of darkness, and it was Dom and Bruno finishing the journey they'd not, you know, that had been interrupted. That was exactly the stretch that they would have taken on Sunday morning on the 5th of June before they were attacked. And that night on the 15th, they were taken down the final stretch back to Atalaya do Norte, and they were carried off the boat and put on a police vehicle. And I remember scores and scores of locals had gathered and they had their mobile phones out. Everyone was taking pictures. It was just a horrible scene. And I remember speaking to Orlando just over there, just after he came out of the forest. And he said, you know, he looked exhausted. I mean, imagine if they'd just spent the last 10 days hardly sleeping, spending days out in the forest in the rain and the sun, working so hard. I'd never seen people work with such determination in my whole life. It was incredible. And he just looked absolutely wrecked. And I asked him how he felt, and he said, you know, felt that was kind of mission accomplished that was mission one accomplished, the first mission accomplished, because they'd managed to find out more or less what had happened and managed to find Dom and Bruno. And then he said, and now we have to start mission two, which is getting justice for their families and justice for the activists and the indigenous here, so that this kind of thing never ever happens again. On the next episode, Pilado and Jefferson admit pulling the trigger. They're arrested, charged, and are awaiting trial. But later, they change their stories, claiming they'd acted in self-defense. And soon, it emerges that they may not have been the only ones involved in the killing of Dom and Bruno. Many think it goes much deeper.
Colombia provided the ammo for the crime. He's connected to donations, to political campaigns, state congressmen. He is a scary figure. It scares people. Just being asked about him.
This is The Guardian.